Bear Podcast, the podcast for Bears and Cubs, episode 278.
And comic book characters. Thing Jason, who's Chasers.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray. How's everybody doing today?
Yes, it's a great day, great weekend. We're recording this on a Sunday because we had to do a special interview with Jeff Krell. Cool.
That's right, the creator of Jason Comics.
Jason Comics, yes. So.
I know, and that's Jason with Y, because Y is the gayest letter in the alphabet.
I just got to remember that. I love it. That's right. I've known Y is the Y and W are actually the semi-consonants, semi-vowels. Semi-vowels. They're called semi-vowels because they can be used as a vowel too. But yeah,
I like Y's because they got danglers.
Ooh, I like how you think. So. Yeah. So we have Jeff Krell, and it's a great interview with him. I hope the there's some kind of noise. So please, bear with us. I hope you guys are okay with that.
Bear.
Okay, so how about some weekend updates? What's going on, Ray? What's up with you?
Just packing, man. Just packing.
Packing.
Yeah. Anybody wants to come in the weekend of Labor Day and help me move, you know, break a little sweat, volunteer some muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you muscle bells apply because I got big screen TV, chairs, all that kind of stuff to get moved that weekend. So.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I hate moving. When's the last time you did a move? Well,
when I moved in this house 2 years ago.
Okay.
Buddy says he's not lifting a paw.
No, he's not, buddy.
He says, I am not participating in this move.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This weekend, any movies? No, not no movies, right?
No, we went to a birthday party on Friday night.
Oh, that's right.
Happy birthday, John and Kent.
Yes, John and Kent, it's their birthday. Actually, their birthdays are both August 13th, but we went on the 14th because, you know, Friday. It's easier to celebrate birthdays on a Friday. Yeah. And
what'd you think about the place we went? Did you like the food?
It's good. It's okay. It's Jenny's Noodle House. It's in the Post Oak Boulevard there in downtown. Right. Galleria area. Yeah. Galleria.
So I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it? Yeah. I can only eat simple food. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, speaking of simple foods, yeah, Ray cooked up something today. It's
spaghetti
and spaghetti meat sauce and
Mary couldn't eat any of it.
I couldn't eat any of it. I did eat some of the pasta. So that's what's been happening. Oh, by the way, yesterday I played softball with the Wave all day, and we won. We won first place in the tournament. First time I've ever been in a team that won first place on something. So,
y'all won. Y'all going to the national?
Yes. You were going to the Gay World Series.
The Gay World Series.
Gay World Series in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So, and if you guys listening, please contact me if you are going to Milwaukee to watch a game or actually playing. Just let me know, nard@bearpodcast.com. Okay. What else now? Well, right now we're recording this on a Sunday. So, we're waiting for
True Blood.
And let's see. Okay, so shall we go on with Jeff Krell?
Let's go on with Jeff Krell.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Nice butt.
Yeah,
so what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer? Do you work out a lot? Do you come here often? Woof, what a bear.
Hey, everyone, this is Nard.
And this is Ray.
And we have a guest today. He's Jeff Krell, the creator of Jason Comics. Yeah, so welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure having you in the show. Like in the pre-show, we were talking about Ray and I have been talking about you, and he forwarded me your information about your involvement with Ignite. So, tell us about that. Let's talk about your start of drawing. When did you start doing the comic or any kind of artwork or comics that became into publication?
Oh, well, you know, I've been drawing all my life. I used to do cartoon stories back in elementary school, and I used to put myself and my friends in them. And that tradition continued. And when I graduated from college, I started this comic strip that was based on my life as a young person who'd come from a small town and was adjusting to city life and coming out. And some of the experiences that I encountered and some of the friends that I met along the way. And that was the genesis of Jason. That was back in 1982, if you can believe it.
Wow, that's a long time.
How does it feel to have a 25-year-old baby?
I was so young then. But Jason, where did you get the name? Is it somebody you know? You based it on someone, the name of Jason?
Right. Jason was based on me, and it's spelled J-A-Y-S-O-N for your listeners if they're looking for it online.
Yes.
They need to put the Y in there, or it'll be a lot easier for them to find it if they do. Once upon a time, well, I think that, first of all, that Y is the gay letter of the alphabet. Because it's different, it's not quite a vowel, it's not quite a consonant, it stands out, you know?
Why is the gay letter? I love that. Okay.
So, because I also have I have two main gay characters in the strip, and Jason is one, Robin is the other, and he also has a Y in his name. And so people have asked why, and I just think Y is the gay letter of the alphabet. But there was a time in my life when... my first name is Jeff, or Jeffrey, and my middle name is Alan, and I was experimenting with different names, and for a while I was going by J. Allen, except instead of J period, I spelled it out J-A-Y. And then one day I saw the name Jason, I thought that was a great name, and I incorporated the Y into it because I'd been using it. So when I created an alter ego based on myself that became this comic strip, it made sense to use that name and to keep the Y.
That is awesome. Just it's really based on you then. So how about stories? Are most of these stories that you tell there are things that happened to you?
Well, it started off that way. I don't know how much of a chance you've had to read the comics. There are a lot of them. Obviously, I've been doing this for 26 years now. And the first strips appeared in the Philadelphia Gay News, which is where I was living at the time. And after doing that for a year, I packaged them up and sent them off to Gay Comics. And the editor, Robert Tripto, really liked them and said he didn't want to run those strips again. He said, would you like to tell stories? And I'm like, would I? I preferred that, but I was confined to six panels in the Philadelphia Gay News. So the first story that I wrote, it was Gay Comics number 6. I had just gone to my fifth-year high school reunion. And I thought, well, you know, there was a lot of fun stuff that happened there, and it was a springboard for my first story. And so the early stories were, in fact, based not only on myself and my friends, but also on real events. But over time, the strip became more fictionalized. The characters took on lives and directions of their own that were different from my own. And there also, over the decades, they've grown about 2 years older, and I've grown a few years more older. So I have more experience and different experience than they do. I try to keep it rooted in a reality, at least the reality of those characters. And always I'm looking in my own life for inspiration for stories. I just put out my first graphic novel based on these characters. It's the first in what I hope will be a series of graphic novels. And my characters still live in Philadelphia, but I've lived in Los Angeles now for almost a decade, so I had a lot of Los Angeles stories to tell. So I sent my characters there in a graphic novel that's called Jason Goes to Hollywood.
That's your latest,
Right, and so I got once again to inform the stories based on things that had happened to me and also to my friends, because the impetus for this story is Jason and his fag hag Arena, who he lives with. Are going to Hollywood to track down their mutual ex-boyfriend. And you have to read the story to find out how that all happened. And they have a good reason for doing so, at least they think so. And their mutual ex-boyfriend is trying to be an actor in Hollywood. And I have some friends who are trying to do that. Fortunately, I'm not. But so those stories are based on some experiences that some friends of mine have had here in Hollywood.
I see. I know some friends of mine who are in Hollywood. I've known them before. They, some of my bear friends actually. Remember Babalu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's I don't know if you know Babalu, but he's an actor and comedian who's based there in the Los Angeles area. And
Babalu.
Yeah, he's, Mamalu.
I like the name.
Mamalu, like the name. He was also a contestant I Survived the Japanese Game Show. But that was a few weeks ago. But anyway, so going back to the comic book. Do you get letters? You get suggestions from some of your fans, some of the fan of the comics?
I used to. Not so much anymore. I get something more like fan mail now, which is nice. People who actually are into the stories and the characters and want to know what happens next. When I was first starting out and people, I was trying to get someone, anyone to buy my book. You go to a lot of conventions, you talk to a lot of people, and I found that a lot of times people would tell me the story of their lives or the story of their friends' lives, and they would say, you should create a character who, or you should tell a story about, and then they would tell me some story from their life, and which made it apparent to me that they hadn't really read or appreciated what I do. So I would just turn it around on them and say, well, that sounds more like a story you should tell.
Yeah.
And I believe that. It's when you're starting out, you should always write based on what you know. Mm-hmm. But over time, you should also learn to expand upon that. So I don't get a lot of suggestions anymore. Especially like you should create a character who. I get a lot more interest in the characters that I have and what's going to happen to them. Especially people would like to know, when is Jason going to get a boyfriend?
Yeah, you do have a bear character there too, right?
Well, Jason has an ex named Walter.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of bearish.
He's a bearish comic book character.
He is. He's bearded and he's a little overweight. And he's definitely, I think Jason is discovering that he has a type. And his fag hag arena has pointed this out to him already. He's just coming to understand that he has a type and that maybe it's a bear type. He doesn't really know
really?
Yet that there's a bear community. Because, he comes from a small town, and he's smart, but he's naive, and he doesn't really, he's still coming to grips with this gay community and hasn't really discovered that there are many gay communities. So but in the next book that I'm working on, which is actually called Jason Gets a Job, and that's another thing it's time for.
Okay.
He struggled for a long time. He's this frustrated, underemployed liberal arts graduate, which was sort of where I was when I created the strip. And and he's kind of mean to his ex, and Arena is even meaner. But the two of them really need a job. And so it finally occurs to them in this new book that the one person who could help them get a job is Walter, because he's a little older and he has a good job. And what's going to happen in this story is they play nice with Walter, and he actually helps Jason get a job at the same company where he works.
And this
may rekindle some feelings that Jason has for Walter, which are not mutual. Walter has moved on.
There's drama into it too, huh? Oh.
Drama and intrigue and intra-office romance. Jason needs to confront what it is that he finds attractive in Walter and move on from that. So I think that he's, in the course of the exploration in this book, he's finally going to discover that there is something called a bear community. So this is what I want to talk to you guys about. I'm going to turn the tables and ask a question. I'm doing research for the new book now.
Right? Oh, so Jason, we're going to be the source. Okay, awesome.
That's right. Uh-huh. You're going to see yourselves in this book now.
Oh, my God. Really? That's awesome.
A little Filipino bear running around.
Uh-huh.
Jason is a small, slim guy who's and opposites attract in his case. He's discovering that he's attracted
to
bigger
guys. He's a chaser. That's how he is.
Hairy guys. He's a chaser. Not exactly a chubby chaser, but I guess a bear chaser.
A bear chaser in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my experience is that... even though in Jason's life and in my life, opposites attract, what I see of the bear community is that bears are attracted to other bears. So enlighten me. Tell me how someone who's attracted to bears but isn't can penetrate your community, so to speak.
Okay, let me tell you something. This is my observation because I've been to a lot of bear runs already. And in those places, it's really predominant to have bear-on-bear relationships and bear attractions, and sometimes the people, the bears who like the chasers are, it's really rare to see them. Probably only one in 50, something like that. And
some unique.
So Ray here, actually, he likes the chasers. And, in a bear run, because Ray, yeah, Ray, what is your experience, Ray, in bear runs?
There are never enough chasers at a bear run.
Ray, do you like to be chased?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that's how it is. Yeah, there's a very small percentage chasers in a bear run. Or
well,
bears who like chasers,
that?
I mean. I don't know.
Do
it's really
that,
just...
Do you think that chasers don't feel welcome? Or do you think that there just aren't that many?
Okay, since you asked that, people are... Well, chasers, like myself, I'm a small guy. I'm a small, skinny, not too skinny, but a little pudgy Filipino. And I'm just really... I just go to bear runs and actually meet these bears. And I should be honest. Sometimes I'm really just ignored. it's really hard. And
they see Maynard on the buffet and pass it up.
Yeah. So
and that's Jason's experience because that's why.
So I'm a Jason.
Jason comes from this small Pennsylvania Dutch community where he feels shunned and ostracized, and leaves and moves to the big city and comes out and thinks that's going to solve all his problems. And then he finds himself shunned by the gay community. Mm-hmm. So what you're describing with someone who would be interested in bears and doesn't really feel welcome is definitely something that could inform a Jason story.
Yes.
But, we'll make it funny. Don't worry.
There'll be
some bear-on-bear action in there.
Awesome.
Okay. See, that's what, but there are bears like me that likes chasers, so.
Yeah. And like myself, I like the bears.
It's
a variety. It's just that there's a big percentage of bear-on-bear relationships or bear-on-bear attraction in a bear run, of course. But it's really just a get-together. Anybody's welcome, usually. And,
good.
Just like it was different in Bear Watch. We have an event here in Houston, not in Galveston, Texas, which is Bear Watch, where we have a female attendee, right? Remember?
Yeah
we have a female attendee. So
wow.
Yeah, we're really open. Just as long as you're older than 21. Yeah,
that's right.
Or
okay.
18.
Yeah,
I
saw that Kathy Griffin episode.
Oh, you saw that? Oh my god.
She was like a female bear chaser, at least for a minute.
You are right. You're absolutely right.
When we were talking at Comic-Con, isn't there a dream, if I can get it out here in a minute, a dream sequence somewhere?
I love to do dream sequences or fantasy stories or science fiction stories that are escapist. Where my characters still are who they are, but I put them in these wacky situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like in one episode, Jason goes to Planet 69.
Okay, Planet 69. Wow.
In the Best of the 90s book, and I've done it for so long. I have a Best of the 80s and a Best of the 90s.
That's right.
In another story of Jason's fag hag arena, once again trying to get a job, starts selling What a Woman cosmetics. Mm-hmm. And it's this pyramid scheme like Amway, except it's run by this evil lesbian mad scientist whose cosmetics turn all the women who put them on gay.
Awesome. Wow.
So Jason feels sorry for Arena because she can't make any sales. So he tries them for himself. He agrees to buy some. He buys a night cream and he uses it to jerk off.
Uh-huh.
And
he
turns into this macho heterosexual. In fact, he turns into kind of a bear.
Oh, okay. He must be a muscle bear.
He grows bigger and he's hairy. Because if this cosmetic would turn straight women gay, it would turn Jason into something more manly. And that's what happens to him in that fantasy story.
That is awesome.
Well, that's cool. So let's talk a minute about your Ralph Koenig. Is that how you say his last name?
Koenig. Yes. Koenig. In addition to my own work, I translate for a famous German cartoonist named Ralph Koenig. He did something called Maybe, Maybe Not. You may have seen the movie. I don't know if you've read the books.
I've actually seen the books and looked at them before, and it never dawned on me until I saw the webpage that you had translated those.
Mm-hmm. And one of his more famous works is called The Killer Condom, and we're coming out with a translation of that this fall. In fact, I was working on it today. It's going to go to press in about a month. We should have it in time for the Alternative Press Expo in San Francisco in the middle of October.
Okay.
And that's a science fiction, crazy fantasy story right there about a condom that attacks the men who put it on.
The killer condom. Wow.
The killer condom. And it has a sequel. We're going to come out with the sequel next year. Ralph Koenig is a very famous German cartoonist who's prolific also. He has more than 30, I think, graphic novels out now. They're very popular throughout Europe. And and you can find them everywhere. You can buy them at the train station. They're not wrapped in cellophane. They're not sold under the counter. Because, you know, it's Europe. His stuff is a lot dirtier than what I do. But it's just okay. Much more accepted there. And
they're very liberal there.
I used to live in Germany. Mm-hmm. And one time I went back to visit, and a friend of mine said, well, you're a cartoonist, and you speak German. You would like this guy. And gave me one of his books, and I really liked it, so much so that I said, why isn't this stuff in English? Why doesn't anyone know about this? So I started this crusade to start translating his work and bringing it to the U.S., by the end of next year, there will be 4 of his books out that we've published.
Wow.
And I want to keep doing that as time permits.
Yeah, we should get some European humor, too, in coming to the U.S. That would be good. So, at Comic-Con, you were there, and...
I was.
Is that your first? How many times have you gone to Comic-Con?
My
every
fourth
year?
Comic-Con as a
fourth
professional.
Comic-Con.
Like I said, I moved to Los Angeles in 2000, and after living here for a couple of years, I love comics, and I'd gotten away from them for a while, but I went to Comic-Con 5 years ago, just as a tourist, just as someone who wanted to see what's going on in the world of comics, and discovered Prism Comics, which is this wonderful nonprofit organization that represents gay and lesbian comics creators. And I'd been doing Jason for a long time, but I stopped, and it really rekindled my interest in doing it. So the first thing I did was publish the collections, the best of the 80s and best of the 90s, and work with Prism Comics to create awareness for them and to sell them, because I wanted to see if people still liked what I did and if there was any market for it, and because there's a whole new generation of people who never read that stuff when it was first published in gay comics. And anyone remember the Meat Men series of gay male cartoon anthologies? They were oversized paperback books. There were over 20 volumes of them, and I was in most of them. But all of that stuff is scattered to the wind. So I collected it all up in these two collections, and they were very well received. I was very pleased and encouraged to create new work. And that's when I started doing these graphic novels, the first of which that has come to light is Jason Goes to Hollywood. So after meeting the people from Prism Comics 5 years ago, starting in 2006, I'm guessing. Yes, we published the collections in 2005 and brought them to Comic-Con for the first time in 2006 and did signings at the Prism Comics booth. But this year we did something extra special. They have a partnering arrangement now where they're buying their own booth and an adjoining booth and inviting creators to have their own dedicated space. And so this year, for the first time, I had my own space for half a day every day.
For selling and book signing,
Yeah, so I got to put all my wares on display, and still Prism got to do the transactions. They have it all set up electronically.
Ah, okay.
So I got to sit there, not just for an hour to do signings and hope someone who knew what I was doing might wander by, but this way with a dedicated space, I really got to talk to people and engage people. And get the books into people's hands.
Hopefully people who'll be listening to this would get into it too. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. You got to meet Ray.
We had to meet each other. I think we actually met each other last year too.
Last year too.
Yeah.
that's something I missed. I've never been to Comic-Con myself, and I keep planning to go to Comic-Con, and I keep missing it.
Your boyfriend keeps planning vacations.
Yeah, my boyfriend always whisks me away.
You have to get your tickets early.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, that's
right. They go on sale, I think, in February. You can get them on the Comic-Con website, but you should get 4-day pass. It's worth it. Go all 4 days, and get it soon.
Yeah.
Get it between February and April. I think they sold out by May this year, and they sell out a little earlier every year because it's very popular.
Yes.
And I'm delighted because I get to meet so many people who are either fans or potential fans. If I can talk to people and explain to them what this book is about and get them to flip through it, they tend to buy, which is nice.
Okay.
So all about the fans.
Yeah. So what's your future plans?
Future plans? Well, we're working furiously on this new translation of The Killer Condom, which we hope to put on the press within the month. And I'm putting together story ideas for the next Jason graphic novel, which will be called Jason Gets a Job.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Where we'll get, because Walter has been on the back burner for a while.
Is he going to have a spin-off or something? This would be interesting, too. You know?
Well, we'll see where it all goes.
That's right.
When I started the strip, there were three main characters. There was Jason and Arena and Walter, because that was my life at the time, my fag hag and my ex. It was really sad. And I never really knew what to do with Walter. He would just show up and get insulted by Jason and Arena, and he would go off and back to his boyfriend. And I never really used him very well, and so I'm finally having an opportunity to do that, and to really explore, you know, what happened, what was Jason and Walter's relationship about, and why did they break up? And to sort of tell that backstory in a contemporary way, because now they have to confront that, because now they're going to be working together. So working through all of that, and always, you know, trying to come up with new ways to market what I do and get the word out there.
How about Dragon Con or other cons and other conventions? Are you planning to go to any of them, or you just really want to be concentrating on Comic Con?
Oh no, we go to most of the conventions, at least the ones that make sense for us. If they're more sci-fi oriented, we tend not to. We go to Seattle. We go to San Francisco twice. We go to the Alternative Press Expo, which will be in October. We'll also be at WonderCon, which I believe is in February or March next year. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to New York for the first time. And that's going to be next October. It was in February this year, but for some reason, next year it won't be till October. So that gives us more time to prepare. But one of my fellow comics creators, someone named Tim Fish. I don't know if you had a chance to meet him, Ray, when you were there.
No, didn't get to meet him.
But he does Cavalcade of Boys.
Okay.
He's going to have his own dedicated space in New York, and he all did the same deal that Prism Comics is doing, where he bought a second space, and he's parceling it out to a group of people. And so I'm working with a bunch of other people who are going to share a table. But they're coordinating that for me, which is great. And one of them said, just, you know, send your product to me, and I'll bring it to the table. And so all I have to do is fly in.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
So we're doing New York. Okay. What else do we do? This year I went to Pittsburgh for the first time. My husband's family is from Pittsburgh. And so we went there in April, and that wasn't a very good venue for us. I don't think we'll go back to Pittsburgh.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, well. So if somebody wants to buy your comics.
Sorry?
If somebody wants to buy your comics, where do they go to buy your comics?
Oh, well, there are several ways to do that. You can start at our website, which is ignite-ent.com. And you can find out all about our products. And if you want to buy them, you can click through to Amazon.com to do that. Or you can start your search at Amazon.com and search on Jason with a Y.
With a Y.
Or on my name, Jason with a Y. It helps. Or Jeff, K-R-E-L-L, my last name. If you search on both, you'll definitely get all my products. You can also go to prismcomics.org, and they sell all my products.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Yeah, so we'll put links on the website for our listeners to check out your comics, and I'm sure many of them are already into the Jason. And we're running out of time here, and we really appreciate your time with us. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, this is so much. This is so much fun learning a lot of things about how Jason came about, and so to our listeners, just go to ignite-ent.com. That's short for Ignite Entertainment, right?
Yes, the company is called okay. Ignite Entertainment, and the website is ignite-ent.com.
All right.
And yes, tell your listeners. I'll tell your listeners because they're listening to me right now.
Yeah, they are.
To email, visit the website and email us and give us ideas for bear stories.
Yes. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, we'll champion that.
We'll champion that.
Yeah, we'll tell everyone about that. Okay. So thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us.
My
Jason
pleasure.
Goes to the leather bear bar. That's a whole story.
All right, that was a great interview with Jeff Krell.
That's right. Yes. Check the show notes so y'all can get the website and everything, and go check out the comic books and buy.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, I want mine autographed. I have to get it.
You'll have to send it to him or go to.
Have to mail it to him. Yeah. You know, I really love the name Prism Comics.
Yeah.
Prism, as in rainbow.
Yeah. Well, that's why they did.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So, I like the idea.
And if y'all haven't checked out, go check out prismcomics.org. I think it's the right website. I'll have to double check that, but it's Prism Comic. Prism.org, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll have to go look in a minute, and we'll put it in the show notes. But you can contact numerous gay artists, writers, comic book writers, graphic novel writers, producers, editors, all that kind of stuff too there. So it's a nice little organization. They have a nice setup at Comic-Con. So.
Is that like the SAG for actors? SAG? No?
No,
it's not.
No.
Okay. But yeah, it's nice. I've seen... Some other artists that we do plan to have in the show still, but we'll announce that.
Last year we had Joe Phillips on the show, and
yes, that's right.
Part of which I got to check. I need to check with Joe and see if his new live action porno animation movie is out.
Really, he's got something animated.
Well, last year they were working on it where Moorcock. What's his name? Moorcock. He did that. It was kind of like Roger Rabbit. It's like the adult version of Roger Rabbit, where Jonas Moorcock went out and actually had sex with guys and stuff. So,
okay.
Did you see the news this week?
Oh yeah, a couple of days ago. Yeah, I think I saw this.
Our protector of traditional marriage, Doug Manchester, is leaving his wife for 43 years. Now this is the guy that donated $125,000 to help gather signatures for a proposition that would ban same-sex marriage in California. Mm-hmm. So all I got to say is I hope the judge denies their divorce and he has to live with that mangy old hag for the rest of his life.
The judge should just
keep
it on.
She makes his life pure hell.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's all hypocrisy. You know. It's all just... I can't believe this. When I got this I think Clay forwarded this to me,
yeah.
And I saw it on Twitter also, and yeah, it's like I said, it's ironic divorce. Very nice title for the article, and what do you guys think of this? It's just really sad that somebody very prominent and got lots of money to donate for Prop 8, and now turns around and. Divorcing.
Yeah. And this is what the kicker is. The court records say that Doug pushed very hard for a speedy divorce agreement after he moved out, but Elizabeth, the wife, wouldn't have none of it. She insisted on hiring lawyers and forensic accountants to fully assess Doug's assets. Doug controls the Grand Del Mar Resort, the Manchester Hyatt, and the Torrey Executive Center, and the Manchester Financial Building. He also has $56.9 million divided among 9 bank accounts. Through the papers make clear that her accountants believe there's far more holdings to be assessed. Elizabeth's petition alleges that Doug has withheld some of the documents needed to make a full accounting. As negotiations drag on, Doug apparently became impatient. So Doug's trying to get a speedy divorce, trying to hide the stuff from the old lady, and Elizabeth, take it all, girl, take it all. And then really piss him off and support the fall the repeal of Prop 8. Prop 9 is allowing gay marriage. That's the new one. That's gonna be Prop 9.
No, probably that's gonna be Prop 1 when they bring it back again. But yeah, it's yeah. I'll put the links on the website, or maybe you already Googled it or read it somewhere. But yeah, we're just trying to say, we're just saying that it's just hypocrisy. What do you guys think? Call us,
Let us know.
Email us. Okay, we have a comment.
We have a comment?
Actually, an email from our friend from Connecticut. It's from
what
Ron.
Zach? He had commented. He hasn't said too much more from me lately.
Oh, Zach, that's right. He
hasn't. I guess I haven't been too controversial lately.
Yes, you haven't pissed him off yet.
Damn, Zach, what have I got to do, man?
Okay, so on the last podcast, you mentioned the Super Friends cartoon.
Oh, the sidekicks from Marvin,
Wendy, and Wonder Dog.
That's it. It took me forever to remember the first names. I was driving in my car. I'm riding in my car.
And I had to look up the other name on the internet. Yeah, thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Ron, so. Okay, we were talking about videos that we TV shows that we used to watch when we were young, when we were kids, and we wait on Saturday mornings so we could watch Super Friends or whatever, or any kind of Hanna-Barbera, Scooby Doo, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, and thanks, Ron, for the comment. Yeah, we're trying to remember, right? Marvin, Wendy, with the Jetsons. Yeah, Marvin was the one with the cape.
Cape.
Yeah.
Marvin always ran around with the cape.
Didn't those TV shows last for an hour? Those cartoons?
I can't remember. I'm sure when I was a kid it seemed like forever, but yeah, it was a lot because they kept doing. They'd do the different cartoons that would break the characters up, and then they'd do like one that had them all in it,
yep.
And then do the little side things, the infomercial things about how to do stuff right and being good citizens and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying, if I remember it all correctly, you know, that was a very low.
Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, those are the times I remember those cartoons. I always wait for Saturday. Even though it's a rerun, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
So. Very easy to please as a kid. Okay, so anything else? What do we have? Any announcements? Nothing?
Nothing that I know of.
Any articles? No. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah, it's great to have Jeff Krell again. Go to ignite-ent.com to check out their website. And if you want to contact us, send your email to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com. Or give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, leave your comments. We'll play it in the show. We haven't had one for a long time. And
nobody likes to call us.
Yeah, but we give it out anyway. So in case you do want to call us.
You got cell phones. You got unlimited call times. Call us.
Actually, during Comic-Con, somebody did call. And yeah, somebody did call. Remember, and then I forwarded to you. That was Jeff.
That was Jeff
that
called, yes. Because I gave him the card and said, come.
Okay, visit the website at bearpodcast.com. Subscribe via iTunes and go to MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. Friend us there. Follow us on Twitter, Bear Podcast on Twitter. And individually, I have Nard on Twitter and
Hubert Dad
on Twitter. Yeah.
That's H-O-U.
H-O-U.
Not you. H-O-U, Bear Dad it.
Yeah, Twitter. You can catch Ray there. Okay, so thank you everyone for listening, and we will catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.